This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. Thanks for listening in. I'm your host, Ursula Rudenberg. During this hour, we will talk about Campus Town in Ames. After many years, a significant amount of property is currently changing hands in Campus Town in the business district, and we will be seeing large changes in this area. We will discuss this important news and listen to various members of our community who are weighing in on what is happening, why it's happening, and what it may mean to all of us. At KHOI, we hope that these voices will be the first of many to join this important discussion about the future of this busy district of Ames that serves Iowa State University students. But before we discuss Campus Town, we want to make sure that word gets out about something else. It's that time of year when the Story County Community Foundation makes funding available in Story County. We want to make sure you know about this great opportunity if you are looking for funding for a nonprofit service organization. The Story County Community Foundation will award a grant up to $25,000 in November to the applicant showing maximum benefits for Story County. Applicants must be a nonprofit organization with 501c3 nonprofit status or charitable project of a government agency or an organization with a 501c3 fiscal sponsor for their project. In order to screen for the most viable projects and limit the number of organizations investing their time in applying, an intent to apply form is required for anyone interested in applying for the major grant. The Allocations Committee will review the forms and invite applicants to submit a full application requesting funding. Letters of intent to apply are due before August 1st, 2013. That's August 1st, 2013. More information on the intent to apply form are available on the Grants Available page of the Story County Community Foundation webpage at storycountyfoundation.org. That's storycountyfoundation.org. Or you can call them at 515-232-9200. That's 515-232-9200. Whether you apply for the major grant or not, you can also apply on behalf of your organization for a community grant of up to $6,000. A letter of intent to apply is not necessary for these grants, and the deadline for these are later in September. KHOI has received such grants from Story County Community Foundation, and they have been very important to our success, and we wish to thank the Story County Community Foundation for all their help. We encourage you to look into this if you are working with a charitable organization in Story County that is in need of funds. Again, information about the grants are available at their website, storycountyfoundation.org. Last year around this time, we interviewed Susan Scherholz, who is the past chair of the Story County Community Foundation. She explained the origins and mission of the foundation, and we'd like to play a segment from that interview now.
In 2004 and 5, the state legislature were receiving many, many applications for gaming casinos because the not-for-profit agencies in the counties that had gaming casinos were doing so well because they had gaming revenues to use for their not-for-profit agencies, and they were able to provide many more social services. So everybody was petitioning to dig a hole, put a riverboat in it, and open a gaming casino. So they said, okay, no more. But they started looking for a way that they might be able to provide some equity to the rest of the county, because although we might not want to admit it, people from Story County were going to other gaming casinos and spending their money and leaving their taxes. And so it was a way that they felt they needed to help return some of that money to the counties that it was coming from. And they set up a legislative program by which we could, if you were a community foundation, apply for a portion of those gaming taxes to come to your county. And we didn't have a community foundation, so the first thing we had to do was get together a group of committed and caring people to start putting together a community foundation so that we would be able to apply for these casino or gaming dollars that the legislature was making available. And so in March of 2005, we applied for the first round of gaming grants and received that money. I think that year we received $67,000, and it was a huge influx for our Story County. It was new money, and if we hadn't started a community foundation, it just wouldn't have come to Story County. So that part was really exciting. And they set it up in two portions. The money that they give us, 25% of that money goes into a permanent endowment to benefit Story County forever. And the other 75% of that has to be granted out by a competitive grant process into the community or into the county to be spent down within that next year. So that gets immediate dollars out to our not-for-profits in the county. We have done so well with them that we no longer have to apply. They just send us the money every year now. That was where these dollars came from. So we are able to give through the grant process 5% each year. That will grow forever, plus any additional dollars into that fund, and grant 5% of that every year in addition. So not only are we using the gaming revenue, but we also have our own unrestricted Story County Community Foundation endowment that we are able to grant out into the community without quite the restrictions that come with the state dollars. The grants that we give using the state gaming dollars, we have to receipt back to the state every year, and they really keep track of every penny of that. So we really do our due diligence with those grants.
Now, when you give out these grants, what is your mission?
We want to impact as many people as we can. We encourage residents of the Story County communities to be inclusive, welcoming, and understanding of diverse cultures. And that's our very first objective, actually. We want to support strong and stable families and provide solid beginnings for youth and children. We promote the effectiveness, long-term visibility, and viability of the arts and cultural organizations, and to provide access to the arts for new and underserved audiences, and to strengthen the nonprofit sector by supporting nonprofit organizations. We promote philanthropy and we encourage civic involvement. Then we work hard to serve as a catalyst in collaborative efforts for the betterment of Story County. And we address other community needs in areas of education, health, mental health, and human services. So we have a pretty widespread base with what we're doing. And we also will provide seed money for a new program. But beyond that, we don't provide operating budgets. We don't want to be somebody's budget. We want to make a difference for the things that they might not be able to provide for otherwise. So we don't do salaries and budgets, or we don't fund deficits or that sort of thing.
You are listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. This is an interview with Susan Scherholz, former chair of the Story County Community Foundation, which is currently welcoming letters of intent for those who wish to apply for their yearly major grant of up to $25,000. Susan continued,
"We're looking for projects that will make an impact. We like projects that will impact many. We usually don't fund consumable things. We want things that are going to be lasting."
So you fund services and objects?
Yes.
And do I understand correctly, you also don't fund capital campaigns?
That's correct.
So if somebody was applying, they would apply for a particular object, not as a percentage of a capital campaign?
That's right.
So if somebody would like to apply, how do they get started?
They can go to our website. It's just storycountyfoundation.org, and click on the link to the community grants, or there's a link to just grants available, and it has the application right there and all the information they need. We try to keep these applications pretty simple. We don't want somebody to have to hire a grant writer to feel comfortable applying for a grant with a community foundation. And so we keep them pretty simple, and we welcome telephone calls if you have any question about the application itself. It's 515-232-9200, 232-9200.
Do you have to be a 501c3 organization?
That's a really good question. You have to have charitable intentions with this money, but do you have to be a nonprofit? No, but you have to have a fiscal sponsor that is. And actually, all that means is you have to have a 501c3 willing to sign that they will be fiscally responsible for how you spend your grant dollars and be sure that it's spent for the manner in which it was granted.
I'd like to hear anything you could say about how this has personally affected you.
Oh my gosh, it gives me a reason to get up and smile every day. It's so rewarding to see people that really feel good about what they're doing.
To get information about this,
www.storycountyfoundation.org, and our phone number is 515-232-9200. Thank you, Ursula. It's a pleasure to be here.
This is an interview with Susan Scherholz, former chair of the Story County Community Foundation, which is currently welcoming letters of intent for those who wish to apply for their yearly major grant of up to $25,000. This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and I'm your host, Ursula Rudenberg, and today we are talking about Campustown.
My friend and I went down there, and there was just tons of people there. And we got a cinnamon roll at the come-and-go station that tasted like Play-Doh. And we just hung out in, like, that little campus town court and just kind of watched the crowds of people for a while. I've always had a good time going to campus town.
Comfortable. It was fun. It feels like a college place to go.
Yeah. Well, campus is right across the street, and all the dorms are within blocks, and you have, Legacy, Brickstone, all those places. And I definitely think what makes it such college atmosphere is the students and the people that go there. I definitely think it's there for the students, mm-hmm. and a place for them to experience college and college life.
On December 27, 2012, the Ames Tribune reported that 9 Campustown buildings were purchased by financial software company Kingland Systems Corporation as part of its plan to expand in Ames. Kingland Systems purchased the building from the estate of Albert Lewis Champlin Jr., who recently died, and documents filed with the Story County Recorder's Office show Kingland paid the Champlin estate more than $1.5 million for the properties in the 2400 block on Lincoln Way and in the 100 blocks of both Stanton and Welch Avenues. The sales closed earlier in December 2012. Kingland has occupied the former movie theater building where it houses an intern center for Iowa State University students who are employed part-time doing research and other work to help maintain databases for the company's customers. So far, the company has employed nearly 1,000 students since it's opened its Ames office. Kingland reports that they are looking to expand their presence and are currently planning the next steps of what that development will look like. Their Ames operation, including their relationship with Iowa State University and the Ames community, are considered critical components of their long-term growth strategy. Kingland stated that plans for the redevelopment will be made more clear during 2013. The Ames Historical Society provides some background information as to the history of Campustown. Albert Lewis Champlin Jr., who formerly owned the buildings that were sold, graduated from Ames High School in 1936 and died on February 20th in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. He was 93. Campustown dates back to 1858 as an unincorporated district south of Iowa State College campus. It was originally nicknamed Dogtown, by Ames residents who described its primitive conditions with no utilities. Students lived in wood-framed houses nicknamed Prairie Dogs. Ames annexed West Ames in 1893, and during the first visha in 1922, students renamed the district Campustown. A.E.L. Champlin and his wife, Angie Culbertson Champlin, lived on Welch Avenue and operated a farm south of town, where they also bred Percheron workhorses. They owned the area between Welch and Stanton Avenues on Lincoln Way, which was first called Boone Street. That was changed in 1914 to Lincoln Way. In 1904, they were the first people to do business in Campustown out of a small frame building. At that time, Iowa State College had approximately 1,400 students. In 1908, the Champlins began construction of the first brick building in Campustown with the plan of housing a drugstore and grocery business. The building's second floor was used as a social hall for the university and as a temporary worship space for the Methodists and Presbyterians. According to the Ames Tribune on October 8, 1908, a roof garden was also planned on top of the building. This building, known as the Champlin Building, is the building that stands on the corner of Welch Avenue and Lincoln Way, where the bar and music venue Charlie Oaks is currently located. A.L. Champlin also operated a livery service on that block. When the livery business declined, he revitalized the block by replacing the livery barns with brick buildings that included an apartment building, two theaters, the Ames Theater and the Varsity Theater. A 1920 map of the so-called Champlin Block shows from west to east a drugstore and a grocery store, a grocery warehouse, a book and stationery store, motion picture houses, and a garage. The Cranford Apartments that now stand on the corner of Stanton and Lincoln Way were built later. The Cranford Apartments were not sold in the recent sale to Kingland Systems. At our request, Sharon Wirth, chair of the Historic Preservation Commission for the City of Ames, kindly agreed to come to KHOI to explain what the thinking has been in recent past about how to develop Campustown, including overarching plans and zoning regulations for Campustown that were worked on in 2005 and 2006. The Historic Preservation Commission is by appointment by the City of Ames, and it makes recommendations to the Ames City Council in regards to historic preservation throughout the City of Ames and reviews and issues permits in designated historic districts. Ames currently has one historic district in the city's original downtown area. Ms. Wirth described what we know so far about Kingland's plans to develop the properties it has purchased in Campustown. On March 26, 2013, Kingland Systems made a presentation to the Ames City Council explaining their purchase in Campustown, and Ms. Wirth attended that meeting. She has also spoken with Kingland Systems individually once since then. Let's listen to what she had to say.
In March, at the public meeting, the Kingland Systems stated they would like to remove the existing structures, so they own three properties, platted lots, starting at the corner of Lincoln Way and Welch, and then going east up to, but not including, the Cranford Apartments.
Which is where Jeff's Pizza is, the large building there.
Yeah, does not include that building. They are wanting to build a three-story, 80,000-square-foot building. They are needing space to expand their business.
Which is?
I'll say it in a very general, vague way. Providing some IT services to specific clients. They have another component of the same business in Clear Lake, yes. And so they do similar things there. And they need to expand. And they felt like they wanted to expand in Ames, Iowa, which is a great thing for our community, that they would like to invest and expand in our community, offering some job opportunities for students. They employ many, many students, but also, you know, a number of full-time professionals with their business expansion.
They plan to rent out some of the storefront space to stores and then have the rest of the building be their business, or what?
Good question. They would remove the existing structures to expand their business and to build new buildings. Some of that would be retail use. Some of that would be office use. Being sensitive to the character of the area, they've done some market research, and people are wanting more retail opportunities. And in general, the main floor of buildings on Campus Town is very often retail of one sort or another. So that would offer some opportunities to expand retail there in the Campus Town area. So as I understand it, yeah, very definitely renting out some space and being very sensitive to the character of the neighborhood in terms of putting some retail space on that main floor along the street level. You know, I believe the plan was, you know, as you move back away from the street, then some of that main floor space would be their company space, as well as the upper floors would be their company space. I have seen the plans they presented. They operate within one building now. And so I think in general what they're proposing is one large building but divided into a number of separate storefronts along the street there. I'm not really remembering if its basic appearance was one large building, or, you know, sometimes you can build one large building but you would break up the front facade to make it look like it's maybe two or three buildings, simply because that's more characteristic of the architecture of the area. So you might do that to make it be more compatible.
Did they discuss parking?
Parking was definitely part of their plan. They were very sensitive to the need of having more parking. One of the things I suggested to them was, gee, maybe you could build parking on the ground level and extend your building out over the parking in order to get more building space. Underground parking is very difficult because the underground is full of all kinds of infrastructure. So it becomes difficult and very expensive. If you go in behind those buildings there, there is some space where you could put ground level parking. And then if you're building a two-story or a three-story building, you could put some building above it.
What else did they report at that meeting?
Well, they presented a plan with some design schematics in terms of appearance.
Do you remember how the building looked?
It looked new to me. Certainly an attractive building. My concern as an individual and as a member of the Historic Preservation Commission is with, first off, demolishing historic buildings. The Champlin Building in particular is a very important historic building in Campus Town because of the ties to the of the Champlin family to the community, and the ties to the Champlin family and their development of Campus Town. They have been there from the early, early days. But also architecturally, they're very interesting buildings. You know, I would want to be very, very sure they really needed to be taken down before I would be supportive of taking them down, because the character of Campus Town is two-story red brick buildings. Mm-hmm. And so if you're going to respect the character of Campus Town, certain historic buildings will be remaining. Otherwise, you're significantly changing the character of Campus Town. What is the character of Campus Town? What do we want it to be? Where are we going with Campus Town? It's easy to say, oh, yeah, we need to revitalize Campus Town. We need to make changes. But at the same time, we need a plan. And I do not believe, personally, the plan is going in and just knocking down buildings without a very good reason. That could be a very interesting community discussion.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and I'm your host for this hour, Ursula Rudenberg. We just heard from Sharon Wirth, chair of the Ames Historic Preservation Commission, giving a description of the purchase made by Kingland Systems of three lots in the eastern half of Campustown Business District along Lincoln Way that extend from Welch Avenue to the Cranford Apartments and go back a ways onto Welch and Stanton Avenues as well. Ms. Wirth made clear that the removal of at least one historically significant building, the Champlin Building on the corner of Lincoln Way and Welch, has already been proposed and that the character of the block would be significantly altered. To learn more about how neighborhoods change, I spoke with John Lott. Mr. John Lott is an architect who has practiced in Ames since 1970s on projects with the schools and on Main Street as well as private homes. So what is the process of evaluating what you keep, what you throw away, how you change things? How do you reconceptualize a shopping district or a business district? What happens?
Whoa, that's a heavy question. The process of evaluation, to me, it always seems to have to start with the spark of an idea. What can we use the space for? The town is changing, but I would challenge anyone who thinks that we shouldn't let the town change to look in the mirror and ask them not to change. We all change over time. You're talking about, you know, a building project. We have a developer or an owner that says, we want to make change. And the process of change is always hard because not everybody is used to giving up their preconceptions and watching the change happen. I know the rumors have it they're trying to make some change along Lincoln Way, taking some of the existing buildings down and putting up a new structure. There's a lot of history connected to those buildings, and some people said, well, we don't want to tear them down because of look what it represents. Well, it represents a lot of nostalgia, a lot of history, and that's good. But there's also a lot of future that can be represented in that same place if it meets the program of what you're trying to achieve. Maybe there are things, a building that's being demolished, maybe there are aspects of that structure that can be celebrated in the new. And that happens a lot, where you'll take a significant portion of the design or the cornerstone or the capstone or something, and you'll incorporate it into the new building and have it as a reminder. Oh, yeah, I remember that. And that's all that you want to do.
Mm-hmm. What is the relationship between the identity of a town and the buildings that we identify as the town?
That is a discussion that would take hours and should have, instead of one-on-one discussions, should actually be talked about in groups. And the reason I say that is that there is a richness that comes from sharing ideas about what spaces. And I know that all buildings evolve over time. There's no set of rules that you can put on a rule book that says, if you'd follow these 10 rules, you'll create a wonderful public space that people use. And the reason for that is that you have to deal with the attitudes and the interest of the population that happens to be there at the moment. And that population changes. The mindset of the students are going to change. The mindset of the shopkeepers and the people who shop there changes over time and what they want to do. Really, a lot of it has to do with establishing a well-vetted out architectural program of what you're going to be doing in that physical space.
Campus Town has long been a subject of an area that needs some revitalization.
Sharon Worth, Chair of the Ames Historical Preservation Commission.
So what would that mean and how would that happen in the community of Ames? We don't have a specific plan for Campus Town. There's a lot of talk about it needing to be revitalized, but there's not really a plan. So in 2005, 2006, work was done to just do a survey of the building. For example, in terms of physical appearance, how large are the buildings? How tall are the buildings? How close are they to the sidewalk? All of those things affect the character and the use. There is also a larger body of information with a historic survey of those buildings there. It's inventory conducted in 2003, 2004 of all the buildings and properties in areas south and west of campus. So there is a lot of information available. Buildings are typically there, two stories in height or less, for example. Typically, they're at what we call a zero setback. They're right along the sidewalk there, right up there against it, just like you see in downtown Ames. It was also felt that there was a pedestrian-friendly neighborhood character in the commercial area. So in other words, the buildings along the street promote and encourage people to walk as a means of transportation, for example. A lot of information available about that particular area. So out of that came what was called a sub-area plan. This deals with some things people would like to see in what's called this Campus Town service area, which is the commercial area of Campus Town there, along Lincoln Way and Welch and some of those north-south streets there. Some code things were put into place to help to guide that process with some guidelines that talk about how tall the buildings would be along the street, for example. So if you were to demolish buildings, that will tell you what you can put back in place. And that says they will be two stories high. It's not as pedestrian friendly to have all the streets lined with buildings that are 10 stories high.
Mm-hmm. So it's because it's a pedestrian area, it's so that people feel comfortable walking next to these buildings. They don't feel overshadowed by them.
Exactly. That happens to be the one criteria that the Kingland Systems people were concerned about in terms of what they would like to do with the three-building area that they purchased. What they were proposing to do was to build a building along the street that was taller than the regulations allowed. And so they were actually coming forth and wanting the city council to change those zoning requirements. They were asking the city council to change that standard. If you're right up against the sidewalk there, you can only have 30 feet or two stories. As you move away from the sidewalk, you can do what's called a step back, and it can be higher as you move away from the sidewalk. There we're wanting higher building right up to the sidewalk because they felt that they needed to do that in order to gain the square footage they wanted. So that's why it was a subject at the public meeting, because they wanted to make it taller.
Oh.
And so they were wanting to initiate that process so that they could continue planning their new building, which they were proposing to be three stories high. The city council did not choose at that time to initiate that process. Instead, the city council chose to ask them to meet with members of the community, to meet specifically with the Campus Town Action Association, to meet specifically with the Historic Preservation Commission, and to meet with other community leaders, and to do some more groundwork and come back to them at a later time. I did meet with them in early April after the meeting because the city council did ask them to meet with people in the community to get some more input before they moved forward. So I was one of the individuals who met with them. And we went through at pretty great length and depth about why they felt those buildings would not work for their business and why they could not get enough square footage for what they wanted to do. So that's a very interesting dilemma. I challenged them to consider a little bit more about how perhaps that could happen. Could they perhaps leave the most significant building of the three, which is the one that says Champlin Building on the front, and build new space where the other two are. Could they perhaps, because there are some structural problems with at least one of the buildings, could they perhaps leave the facade, repair the facade? So in other words, leave the historic front of the building and replace everything else behind it. Mm-hmm. So there are a number of different options that could be considered here.
You said earlier that it was important to retain the building that says Champlin on it because of the role the Champlin family has played in Ames. Why is that important?
I do believe personally that we should be preserving historic buildings and buildings with ties to people who are important in our community. Otherwise, we're losing our historic architecture, we're losing part of our cultural heritage, and we're losing some of our history. Those things are important reminders of our history. They're important cultural icons, and they're very important in the culture of our community. They certainly have had some meetings. They have not had an official meeting with Historic Preservation Commission. They have met with a number of community leaders. I believe they have met with the Campus Town Action Group. And so I think we're all in the community of Ames kind of waiting for them to take the next step then. When are they ready to move forward and come back? Would they come back with new plans? Would they, you know, would they stick to their original request? I think there's a lot of waiting to see what mm-hmm. happens next mm-hmm. going on here. Mm-hmm. I think the ball, my understanding is the ball is in the court of the Kingland people, Kingland Systems people. And so we'll see what happens next, I guess.
So thank you very much, Sharon, for bringing us up to date. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
It.
Fascinating topic that's yeah. important to our community, especially to the Campus Town area. Absolutely.
Thank you. Kelsey Hardison, you've been interviewing students, and were an undergraduate student?
Yep, I just graduated this spring. I have three emphasis areas, which are business, communication studies, and sociology.
And where did you come from?
I grew up in Ottawa, Iowa. It's just 30 minutes south of Sioux City.
Did you use Campus Town when you were at Iowa State?
Yeah, I did. A lot.
How did you use it?
Well, I work in Campus Town. So, I mean, any kind of college jobs like that are, you know, getting a lot of different experiences in job settings. Small retail stores like Random Goods and just little odd college jobs everyone experiences. And when I became of age, going to the local bars was a regular thing for me and my friends to just sit down, have a beer, and talk. Yeah, seeing the action, you know, going down on Campus Town and see what's going on, meeting up at a Jimmy John's and grabbing a bite to eat, and then going off to the next place, someone's apartment or whatever, with friends to hang out. I mean, there's been so many times where I would wander to Campus Town and, you know, have tons of different friend groups. We're in college, and you would run into someone who you didn't expect to run into because they happen to be on Campus Town, and then, oh, you're doing this tonight, let's go off together and we'll go do this. So I think that's kind of what Campus Town's all about for students.
You've been working on this story about change coming to Campus Town.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I'm honestly kind of scared of this change. There are, you know, a lot of empty buildings where there's a potential for change and things to come in and make Campus Town better, but the idea of nine buildings being torn down and Kingland taking its place and having these plans go through, I don't know what the plans are. And I think just thinking about my college experience and future students, what do they want to get out of college? Well, they want to get an education, but they want to have that college life, that college experience, and studying and your education is not all of that. So meeting friends and all the outside experiences are such a big part. And so I think Campus Town is a direct link and provides that. And I don't know what these big changes will be like, and in the sense for students. I mean, yes, this could create a place of work. But when you think about Iowa State and how diverse and how many majors we have, you know, this type of work is only serving a small percentage of the students on campus. And a lot of these small college jobs would be possibly eliminated if, you know, half of the block between Stanton and Welch is going to be Kingland. I don't know how people could meet. In my experience of being with friends on Campus Town, the majority of people that I know don't really know what Kingland does. And so when we walk by that building, it's just like almost like an empty building. Like, honestly, I didn't know if anything existed in there or not, because it doesn't have a direct serve for me. And I don't know. I think it needs to be known what their plans are going to be for the space, and if the community and students who don't have a direct link to Kingland, if they will benefit from this. You know, Campus Town is social gatherings and community space, and I just don't know.
You are not sure if the plans that are being made are taking that into account?
Yeah. And I think just the scariest part for me is students already feel like they don't have a voice, and they, you know, might not know what's going on with this situation, and they might feel it's too late. And so they might not voice their opinions as strongly as they would feel about it.
What do you think the consequences are of that?
A completely changed environment of Campus Town and a disconnect of the sole purpose of what Campus Town is intended to be. I think these businesses will get displaced and have to go somewhere, and students will have to go somewhere for a new meeting spot. And it's just that sense of community, a common place where you know people will be. Well, where is that going to be now? I don't know. I've never seen that in my college. Campus Town has always been the place to go. I don't know what that would be like. Main Street's pretty far away for us, especially because we live right in Campus Town. We work in Campus Town. Everything is surrounded in Campus Town for some people, and finding out how to go someplace farther away for the common meeting spot is difficult. I don't know. One of the concerns that one of the students I interviewed brought up was the bus system out to Main Street is not as easy and doesn't run as long as it does, you know, the Moonlight Express around Campus Town. And so it is going to be a situation where if people drive down to Main Street or, you know, and go to the bars, how are they going to get back to the Campus Town area if the buses aren't running or if they drove there? I know that I think a lot of students would be worried about that. And they don't want to miss an opportunity to take a break from college studying and, you know, miss the opportunity to go hang out with friends. And if meeting at a place far away where you have to drive is going to be the case, then what kind of decisions, you know, could come? I think that's just something kind of scary to think about.
You are listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. This hour we have been talking about Campus Town in Ames and the dramatic changes that are about to happen there. Finally, let's look at changes one block east on Lincoln Way between Stanton and Lynn Avenues. Lori Verstek of Lori's Coffee was kind enough to stop by and give us that report. So, Lori, you worked in the Stomping Grounds in 2008, 2009. You worked in the Santa Fe, which was on Welch, in the 1990s.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I worked at Gregory's prior to that, and then I had worked at Terracino Coffee. Lots of places within Ames.
And today you have a partnership with Matthew Goodman in the ownership of Lori's Coffee.
Correct.
Which is on Lincoln Way.
Yeah, it's 2320 Lincoln Way, right between First National Bank and the building that used to be Campus Bookstore.
Describe Lori's.
Well, Lori's is the first opportunity that I've had to actually have ownership. I've had a lot of experience and, you know, I'm really thankful for the opportunity that Matthew's given me to have a little ownership and to really be able to put my work to some use and to some fruitful gain. And so it's a wonderful opportunity to build a community of people who know each other and feel comfortable around each other and can share thoughts and ideas.
You've been around Campustown for a while. You feel that coffee shops play a role in Campustown in terms of providing people a place to meet?
Yes, absolutely. It's really neat to provide an opportunity for people to do the studying that I didn't do, but also to understand that the relationships that you make can be and often are more important than what you learn in the classroom.
People study in the coffee shop.
Yes, yeah. A lot of students really find it to be a good place to study.
So would you describe Campustown a little bit from your experience?
Most of the smaller businesses have gone away, and it's primarily just bars, with, of course, a few exceptions.
So what purpose do you think that area of town is serving?
I suppose more than anything, a social venue for the students. I think most businesses around there function primarily around the students. And as Iowa State's enrollment continues to grow, there continues to be more students coming. So,
do you know that the word is out that Lori's is moving?
So yeah, First National Bank is selling the property. Our building is on their property. Our building is actually the old First National Bank before they built that new place. So the bank will still have a drive-through and a location, but they're, I believe, selling the property. And
by that property, you mean the building next to you?
Right, and our building. That's all one property. That's all the First National. Now, you cross the fence and go over to where Campus Bookstore is, and that's another property. And I believe that is also
so that
in
whole
the process of being sold to a different out-of-state group as well.
Somebody's buying the property where the Campus
right.
Bookstore was?
Yes.
And then somebody is buying the property that your business is in and the bank next to you?
Correct, correct. From my understanding, it's two separate parties, both out-of-state parties. Our lease on our building goes through, I believe, August of next year. We should be solid where we are now. Until then, we'll be patient and keep our eyes open for opportunities in the meantime.
What do you know about what's happening the next block up on Campustown, where
yes.
Kingland has bought the property?
I don't know for sure what their plans would be. I would prefer that it stay.
You would?
Yeah, I kind of enjoy the older buildings and the older structures. It's for me, I always enjoy those things. In Pella, they had the Opera House, and the city renovated it all. And I enjoy when they take older structures like that, and you might have to tear out and redo the inside. But that oftentimes is more profitable, I think, mm-hmm. to build new, and that's mm-hmm. where the money is. So there may be some small inconveniences, and there also may be some more conveniences. There's a lot of changes that'll probably be going on in the next 2-3 years around that part on that, I guess, south side of Lincoln Way across from Lake Laverne. In Campustown, maybe was a bit of a holdout because there were small businesses there that had been around for a while, and there were maybe some tradition, but in the long run, that property and those customers, so to speak, become very valuable. And there's a dollar value involved. And when that dollar value continues to increase, then the people with the big dollars will come and take that opportunity. And it will be such that the smaller people won't be able to. So building up would be a priority to get them maximize the profit available. And students and apartments would make a lot of sense. So I would just assume there'd be a lot of that with some retail down below, most of it, which will probably be corporate because that would be the only businesses that could afford to live there. I think once you start building new structures, that it becomes much more difficult for smaller businesses and local businesses to be able to function at all. It's prices per square foot go up, and oftentimes restrictions come along with that. So there is, and there possibly is, a captive audience if there are people living upstairs. It's so, and I think once again there, they'll be able to charge a premium for that. Mm-hmm. I have my opinions, and I certainly let them known whenever the opportunity arises. But
so what is your opinion?
Well, I think America's environment as a whole is getting more and more difficult for the small business. We are just corporatizing. It can be a pretty hostile environment. I mean, even to try to do business, Iowa State's not going to do business unless it's Caribou Coffee or, you know, it's corporate. It's corporate and government working together.
And where are you going to go?
Not sure. Not sure at all.
Will you go somewhere?
I don't think Matthew and I are terribly concerned one way or the other. We're looking forward, you know, to what the opportunities will be, but the opportunity we've had with this business was to go very streamline and to do few things and to do them well. And if you want to get, you know, go bigger, then it is a lot more of a push and maybe more of a strain sometimes. We don't know for sure. We're looking at a lot of places. We'd really like to continue to have drive-through.
And is it in priority for you to stay in Campustown?
It would be a preference.
Why is that?
Matthew enjoys his businesses. I certainly also enjoy the feel and the vitality of the students. It really is a great opportunity for me to hire, and I just have had wonderful luck with hiring, being right there on Iowa State's campus. I worked in Colorado for a while and did not have nearly as good a luck as I've had here in Ames. Just Iowa State provides some of the best students I could ever ask for.
You have been listening to Local Talk, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. This past hour, we have started to explore the changes that are occurring in Campustown and Ames due to the sale of multiple properties. How this will affect all of us area residents is a fascinating, rich, and important topic. We hope to bring many more voices to this discussion, including the points of views of those who are making the changes happen. At KHOY, we believe that with sincere public discourse and participation in the process of change with understanding, we will all contribute to making ours a stronger community. During this hour, you have heard from Susan Scherholtz from the Story County Community Foundation, Sharon Wirth, Chair of the Ames Historical Preservation Commission, John Lott, Ames Area Architect, Kelsey Hardison, KHOY reporter and recent graduate of Iowa State University, and Lori Versteg, co-owner of Lori's Coffee. Music you heard included Changes by Karaoke Superstars, Man Out of Time by Reginald Robinson, and Big Yellow Taxi instrumental by the Acoustic Guitar Troubadours. As always, our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards. Contributing reporters have been Stephanie Schubert, Kelsey Hardison, Kay Patak, Debbie Bunka, and myself, your host, Ursula Rudenberg. Local Talk is engineered by Richard Morrison. To listen to this program online, go to khoyfm.org and click on the show tab and pick Local Talk. You can also find information about contacting Story County Community Foundation and links to historical photographs of the Champlin Building and Campustown. If you enjoyed this show, tell your friends. Your participation as the audience, as always, is what makes KHOY possible. Thank you for listening, and see you again on the radio.